we had a great start flying down through Europe. We had good weather pretty much all the way through Europe. Then the next phase was to fly from Crete to Alexandria in Egypt. I was actually made to fly at 8,500 feet over Egypt.
And that's quite high, is it?
It is, because it's an open-topped aircraft. And so, yes, I mean, you were, about four times the height of Slieve Donard probably up there.
That'd be a bit chilly, right, Nuff?
It was. I was shivering, and then when you came down, it took a good 10 minutes to warm up. And then we came through into the Middle East, and then the adventures really started, because on my way from El Taif to Riyadh, I was flying right across the middle of Saudi Arabia, right over the main desert. I had hoped to see a camel, and in fact I saw probably 300 or 400 camels in the time flying over there. It was great. I mean, I thought the desert there would be empty, you know, but it was actually quite full of people, the Bedouin tents, you know, the big tents and the camel herd. The whole texture of the desert changed as you flew along at about 100 miles an hour. But then the adventure really started. There was a big thunderstorm sort of emerged near to Riyadh, and it was blocking my path. It was actually, I could hear on the radio a lot of other airliners, big jets, were being diverted away from Riyadh. I thought, well, I'm not going to get through this before dark. And so then I thought, well, I'll turn around, I'll go back to my alternate airfield, which was behind me at this point. But as soon as I turned around, I saw another thunderstorm behind me. And so I had nowhere to go, really. I was in the middle of the two thunderstorm systems. So I started to then look down on the desert then, where to go. I'd flown past a couple of petrol stations earlier on, so I backtracked. They were about 3 miles apart. One had a big shed. I mean, you could look up and down the road about 5 miles either way, and there was no cars coming. And so it was a quick landing out on the road, and then just drove the gyro right straight into this big shed, out of the way of this impending storm that was coming along with blowing up the sand and everything. It was a proper sandstorm, really.
They must have been a bit surprised to see you.
Well, they were. The two chaps that were looking after the garage, they could speak no English and I could speak no Arabic. And apart from salam, which is, you know, hello. So I sort of appeared out of the sky, literally. And they were sort of scratching their heads and thinking, gosh, what is this? Now, the first thing I had to do was contact Riyadh, the airport, because I'd been speaking to them on the radio. And the last thing they knew was I was at the other side of this thunderstorm. And then they heard nothing, you see. And so I got them on the phone and said I was safe and I was down and, you know, I was going to stay here while the storm abated overnight. But the good thing was I was able to pass the phone to my two Arab friends, and they were able then to have a discussion with the controller so that at least they knew who I was or what I was.
Oh, that's good. They didn't think you were James Bond anymore, no?
No. But for the rest of the evening then, we had a great time. It was all sign language, but the garage had a little supermarket with it, so I had some food. I was able to get some food. And then the next morning, the classic thing was I was able to pull the gyro out of the hangar, the big garage, and I pushed it to the petrol pump, because, of course, the gyro uses unleaded petrol for its fuel. And then it was taxi back out onto the road, make sure there's no vehicles appearing, and it just took off and carried on as if it was just a pit stop, you know.
That's great adventure, Norman. I mean, time then, just to kind of skip forward a bit, you got to India. By the time you got there, you'd already broken the longest autogyro flight record, and you're now Bangladesh waiting to fly to Myanmar, to Burma.
It was Kolkata was the sort of the trigger point for the longest flight record. The previous chap who tried to fly around the world got as far as the east of India from England. But, of course, I set off from Larne, so I had a couple of 100 miles extra under my belt that he hadn't. And so